When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Well, the pass across, they score! The Rangers take a 4-3 lead with 4:19 remaining. Long shift and the finish by Chris Kreider. A third period hat trick.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey. It's Keith McPherson on The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
On The Fan in New York. First order of business. There are three huge signs printed out in here with the new phone number to dial. If you want to be on air tonight, if you would like to join this five-hour sports talk show at any time, you now dial 888-808-1019. Again, 888-808-1019 to join The Fan. Just when I got used to saying the number in my own special way, one more time, I'll say the old number. 877-337, a six, and two more sixes. Well, that's done. That's done. Shout to Ryan Hurley. We got some new touch screens in here, new call screens. I was just talking to Ack like, yo, you see this? We're in the future. We're running a Windows 98 in here for the calls, but we've been upgraded. Good. Good. The future. Let's talk about the future. The future is bright for your New York Yankees. And I know you guys want to talk about the Rangers and cry about, like, just stop it for a second, man. It's game one. It's a series. And I was talking about it last night, and if you listen to my show last night after the Yankee game, we're probably going to talk about the same things because not too much has happened in the news cycle, so we'll get to the Rangers and the Panthers and how quiet the Garden. Like, just stop, man. It's just corny. Like, it's a long series. If they go down 2-0, they're cooked. But the Panthers were the favorites in the series. Let's talk about the Yankees tonight. The Knicks are out. Eastern Conference Finals Game 2 is Pacers-Celtics. Like, the focus should be on your New York Yankees. The Mets can't lose tonight. And earlier in this week, there was a lot of conversation on The Fan about, oh, the Yankees can't beat good teams. The Yankees get punched in the mouth by the Baltimore Orioles and the Seattle Mariners. I didn't see it that way. I was at the game Tuesday. I watched these games. I tried to break it down to you guys last night. There was a few different things that happened. Clark Schmidt tipping his pitches. That's baseball, Susan. That's not Susan baseball, but it is what it is. I even pointed to the scoreboard malfunction and, you know, mistakes were made. And when mistakes are made, you learn from mistakes and you come back better for it. And that's what the Yankees did. The first game, they were up 4-1. That was a win. Second time, we turn out the lights and Holmes comes into the song. I don't even know the name of the song. His new entrance, it didn't work out so well. He blows the save. Gleyber Torres skips the ball past Rizzo. You lose the game. Good on the Mariners. The next night, they fight back. Gleyber Torres, three-run homer to bring it within one. And the analytics got him. The lanes got him. The paperwork got him. The plan got him. They didn't go off script, and they tried to steal some outs with Clayton Andrews pitching for the first time he had ever been in New York City. You feel me? Like, you know, that's how they lost that first game and second game, back-to-back games for the first time in the Bronx this season, for the first time in a month. And Yankee fans just got to be negative. The greatest rivalry in baseball is Yankee fans versus other Yankee fans. It's glass half full for some, glass half empty for the rest. But you have to give credit to these New York Yankees. Aaron Judge is healthy. All rise. He's having maybe the best month of his career. And for me, the inflection point is May 4th, when Ryan Blakeney ejected this man who probably wanted to go his entire career without being ejected. He tries so hard to not show up the umps. He tries so hard to, you know, just be a good guy, to carry himself with class. He's the captain. And I was worried about his health in April. I've forgotten about April now. It's May. This guy is back to MVP level, worth every penny. And you love to see it. 888-808-1019. Give me some time. It's not going to roll off the, you know. Juan Soto. Another Soto photo. In a matter of 6 days, this guy gives you two games in the Bronx where he has two homers. He sees a lot of pitches. It's a show every time he steps in that batter's box. Him versus the pitcher, versus the catcher, versus the home plate ump. And it's infectious, right? This Juan Soto energy has rubbed off on his teammates. Young Anthony Volpe has figured it out at the leadoff spot. You love to see it. Oh, in year seven as a Yankee, Giancarlo Stanton being rested in favor of giving Judge the DH spot, all he does is come back and hit homers. So when I'm looking at this Yankees team in this lineup with Alex Verdugo, and I think about how Yankee fans said, oh, this clubhouse isn't going to work out. These personalities aren't going to mesh together. How's Boone going to control these guys with Alex Verdugo coming over from the Boston Red Sox? Juan Soto, the generational Juan Soto, showing up to spring training with a shirt that said so much. Marcus Stroman, who was tweeting at Yankees fans, blocking us on Twitter, saying stuff about Brian Cashman. It's never going to work here. I don't want that guy on my team. How's he been? He's the first guy out of the dugout to congratulate everyone after they get off that mound. He's wearing vintage throwback Yankees merch. Guy must have been a diehard Yankee fan growing up. He's got a candle in his locker, a tradition that he's brought to the team, right? Every day that he started in Major League Baseball, he has a candle that he lights when he comes in just for some vibes, some energy. He blows the candle out before he takes the field. Now that candle gets passed around to whoever is pitching. Nestor Cortez took the ball in place of Gerrit Cole. Nestor Cortez has been good enough for me. Clark Schmidt, who him and Stroman are best buds. Clark Schmidt has been impressive, very impressive in his second year. Homegrown talent. Oh, speaking of homegrown talent, I'm wearing my Luis Gil, Gil-matic King of the Heel shirt today because that guy is special. And now you're hearing people call him an ace, and people are looking at the Padres and they're saying, how come they didn't ask for this guy? They forgot about him. He came back from Tommy John surgery, and they're not worried about how many pitches he's throwing now. In the beginning of the season, they were, but now they're letting him have at it. He's striking guys out. He's dominant, and he is learning from Gerrit Cole. Oh, yeah, Cole's not back yet. But Carlos Rodon, so many people said this season hinged on what version of Carlos Rodon the Yankees were going to get. So far, so good. I appreciate you, Carlos Rodon, settling in year two in New York like we've seen so many do. And yeah, I already gave Stroman his love. This rotation has one of the best ERAs in baseball without the reigning AL Cy Young winner. What more do you want from these guys, right? You're getting clutch moments out of guys like Oswaldo Cabrera, who many didn't even think would get an opportunity to play. You have guys like Anthony Rizzo who are not concussed back and contributing. There's just so many guys to go around. I mean, imagine when Gleyber Torres finally gets going. He got going some in this last week. But DJ is on the way back, and everybody wants to know, what are the Yankees going to do when Dominguez comes back? We don't know. Don't necessarily need to rush the 21-year-old switch-hitting center fielder back. And what are the Yankees going to do when Gerrit Cole comes back? Jack Curry today told you there will be no six-man rotation. It doesn't make sense for the Yankees to do that. Cole needs to go every 5 days. Rodon needs to stay on his schedule. Stroman needs to stay on his schedule. I think those three guys, as veterans, starters, are locks to stay in the rotation. I think, obviously, young Luis Gil might be the first candidate to go, but he's become a fan favorite. You're most excited to see him pitch out of all five of these guys. Nestor Cortez, I think, is a champ. I think he won't sweat it if he has to go to the bullpen or if they skip his start. I think he'll take it like a vet, you know, the same way he stepped up to take the ball on opening day. But these are good problems to have, folks. These are good problems to have. The Yankees are drawing 37,000, 37,000, 47,000 on the weekdays to see the Seattle Mariners, who I never said anything about them being an elite team. I don't care if they're in first place in the AL West with the bum-ass Astros and the Anaheim Angels, who don't have Ohtani, don't have Trout, don't have Rendon ever. Just because they came in and won two games, that's baseball, Susan, but that's not Susan baseball. This team is elite. This is one of the better Yankee teams we've seen in a long time, but y'all still want to complain. Brian Cashman gets all of the blame for every failure, everything that's gone wrong. Every season, it's Cashman sucks. Fire Cashman. It's Cashman's fault. Cashman did that. Nobody is patting him on the back right now. Nobody's saying, hey, Cash, the chemistry of this team, this lineup, we're getting a consistent lineup every day, Boone. Nobody's saying, hey, Cash, we see you. We see how you responded to 82 and 80. I guess he doesn't deserve that. And if I hear another Yankee fan say these two things, I'm going to lose it. It's just so corny. I love y'all, but I hate this. I hate the George Steinbrenner is rolling over in his grave right now. Lose that. Lose that phrase, please. Stop. Or we pay money hand over fist. $15 beers at the stadium. Chicken buckets are $40. It's $40 to park. If I want to take a family of four. Shut up. Just stop. It costs money to do anything in New York City. I woke up today. I have $464 on my Easy Pass. Just driving to Yankee Stadium and driving to work. Easy Pass is like, yeah, we'll take $385 and add it to your account. I say, whoa, whoa, whoa. I don't need that much money on the Easy Pass. The toll's 13 bucks. I live right by the tunnel. I'm never tripping off of what it costs at Yankee Stadium and looking at what the Yankees' profit is, $700 million, what the Yankees are evaluated at, $7.4 billion, and saying, Hal Steinbrenner, stop crying broke. Hal Steinbrenner doesn't cry broke. Hal Steinbrenner is the one getting on the phone on the yacht to make sure Aaron Judge isn't headed to the San Francisco Giants, you feel me? Hal Steinbrenner's the one, back in 2019, I went to sleep, and Yankees Twitter was telling me that the Angels were going to sign Gerrit Cole, and that the numbers that were out there, $36 million a year AAV, that was too rich for Hal Steinbrenner. No way would Hal Steinbrenner do that. And then I wake up the next morning, it's like Christmas, we got Gerrit Cole. Cashman gets his white whale. Hal Steinbrenner has the money. Hal Steinbrenner is doing what he has to do to make this team a team that we all love to go watch, a team that we represent. We wear Yankee logos on our hats, on our shirts, on our shorts, on our socks. And we all understand it's been 15 years since the last World Series appearance. But look at this team so far. They're starting to make you feel all tingly inside. Do they not get credit for that? Did you guys forget just last week Hal Steinbrenner said this about the generational Juan Soto? He said, I don't think there's any doubt about that, talking about Juan Soto and him spending the rest of his career with the Yankees. He said his agent, Scott Boras, doesn't tend to normally do deals in the middle of a season. Neither do I. I think it can be a distraction. But as I said in spring training when I met with the media, this is a unique situation and a very unique player, so I wouldn't be shocked if there was a conversation or two had possibly during the course of the season. You guys forgot about that. He said, I think it's worth doing at some point. I wanted to give Juan time to really settle in, have a conversation with him at some point, and make sure that obviously the most important thing is this is a place he can see himself for a long time. You guys forgot about that. That was printed on May 16th. So this whole week, all I've heard about Hal Steinbrenner and his comments coming from the owners' meetings, let's Let's go back. You guys forgot about this too. Baseball was locked out. Going into the 2022 season, baseball was locked out. There was a new collective bargaining agreement. And so when Hal Steinbrenner is in New York at the owners' meetings, talking to the same guys that he was dipping on, right? Remember that? Remember Hal leaving? I'm going to bed. I'm prioritizing my sleep. Whatever y'all want to do, y'all can do. We're the New York Yankees. I'm out of here. Text me. Leave me a voicemail. I don't need to sit here all night with y'all burning the midnight oil. I'm going to bed. I have things to do in the morning. Hal Steinbrenner's talking to his peers. And when he says, I'm going to be honest, payrolls at the level we're at right now are simply not sustainable for us financially. He told no lies. So I don't understand why everybody's calling the fan, tweeting at me. Last night I had this rant. It was one of the last things I did at 1:45 before I got off. Because I'm tired of it. It sounds so dumb for you guys to talk about the money you put into the organization. Yeah, play the 50-50. Next time you go, I'm sitting in the bleachers. I'm like, what the hell is this barcode on the bleachers? You scan the barcode, you can play the 50-50. Play the 50-50. You can even play it from home. Put all the money you can into the organization. With payroll at $305 million this season, according to SpotRack.com, already set with $202 million of commitments for 2025, the Yankees certainly could hand Juan Soto another nine-figure mega deal. This is coming from Brian Hoke's article today. You guys got to think about it. And I know some of you don't think about it. And I know some of you fake-ass Yankee fans don't really go to the stadium. You helicopter in. Now is a great time to helicopter in because the Yankees have the best record in the AL. They're in first place. It's a great time to put your Yankee hat back on. The Knicks are eliminated. The Rangers lost game one. So here we go with the fake-ass Yankee fans that just want to rip Hal Steinbrenner. What he said is smart business. It makes sense. And if you look at the construction of this team, there are young guys already here. Anthony Volpe's not going to cost that much. Oswaldo Cabrera doesn't cost anything. Austin Wells doesn't cost that much. When you hear the names of Jason Dominguez and Spencer Jones on the way, they're not going to cost that much. Luis Gil doesn't cost anything. Clark Schmidt might get an extension. It's still not going to hurt the Yankees. There's money coming off the books. This is a prove-it year for Gleyber Torres, and so far I don't think Gleyber Torres comes back. He's at $14.2 million. Alex Verdugo, love the guy, fan favorite, but the way he's playing, somebody's going to throw a bag at him, and with the bag that we're about to throw at Juan Soto, we might just have to say farewell to the big dog. Clay Holmes, if he's looking for an Edwin Diaz-type deal, we can't give you an Edwin Diaz type deal. Look at Edwin Diaz right now. Tommy Canley, this is probably his last run, but it's his second tour. Jonathan Loaisiga, he's hurt again. He's gone. Caleb Ferguson, gone. Anthony Rizzo may be back because that's Judge's right-hand man. But you follow me? You see what I'm saying? There's money coming off the books. Aaron Hicks is being paid right now. Josh Donaldson is being paid right now. So what Hal is saying is, yo, we're not going to keep doing this. We're not going to keep having these $300+ million payrolls, paying the luxury tax, helping the Tampa Bay Rays compete against us, losing draft picks. It's the Steve Cohen tax. They just collectively bargained this. Am I losing it? I don't get it. Hal says, I'm going to be honest, payroll's at this level right now. Like, I don't even have to reiterate it. What I'm saying to you is he's trying to be fiscally responsible. The Yankees can compete without going out there and spending that much money. And him saying this is not him saying that they're not going to sign Juan Soto. Where's Juan Soto going to go? To Queens? Why? You think he's dumb? You think Scott Boras is dumb? You think Hal Steinbrenner's dumb? They're not. And the conversations they're having, he's going to hit free agency. But you can start figuring some numbers right now. 888-808-1019. I had to get that off my chest because it's just corny, man. I'm somebody that used to get the cheapest ticket to get into Yankee Stadium. I've taken the train for 2 hours to get to Yankee Stadium. I go to Yankee Stadium, I don't spend a dollar now. And if you can't figure out how to make it cost effective, that's on you. You can bring in your own water. You can bring in your own food. You can park on the street. You can take public train. Like, I don't understand why we always go back to how much the beers cost, how much the food costs. They don't make you buy that stuff. And if you love the team and you want to see the team be successful, we currently have three guys with over $300 million contracts. And right now, I have no problem with Gerrit Cole, Aaron Judge, and Giancarlo Stanton being on this team. And we're about to have another guy that might have double that, might have a $600 million contract, and he deserves it. And they're going to figure out how to pay him. And so if you're crying about it, go to Queens, right? Go be a Mets fan and go sit over there and watch Queens' best dance crew break dance on top of the dugout.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
It'll be a 1-1 to Judge. The pitch swung on and hit. Deep center field. Trout on the run. Aaron Judge, number 50.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yeah, buddy. Your nighttime host, Keith McPherson, on The Fan in New York. Taking your calls at 888-808-1019. All right, back to it. Before we get to the calls, too, because I see you weirdos on Twitter that think you know stuff with your 20 followers, not showing your face or name. Oh, you're really campaigning for that Yankee broadcaster job. Nope, not at all. Not even a little bit. Oh, you getting Brian Cashman's suite, and now you're carrying water for Brian Cashman. No, that wasn't Cashman's suite. Had no idea. That was Andrew Levy's perfect suite, suite number 33. Had no idea Cashman would be in there. Cashman was nice enough to do a little video with me. We talked about a bunch of things, but I kept it a buck with him. He knows. He knows last year they cut corners, went to the bargain bin, had us watching IKF in the outfield, you know. But, like, that's what I'm saying. You guys just can't give it up. You can't give credit where credit is due. Nothing is ever good enough. It's just World Series or nothing. We can't win the World Series in May. Can you at least acknowledge that this team is really good? Can you at least acknowledge it's fun to watch the Yankees? They're not having fun watching that blue and orange team in Flushing. Can you at least give some credit that, like, after 82 and 80, this is how they responded? So, yeah, Don't think that I'm not trying to be Susan Wallman. I'm not trying to be John Sterling. I'm going to be Keith McPherson. And when you hear Keith McPherson being chanted in the roll call, Section 203, those people know my body. They know my personality. They know who I am. They've seen me for some almost 10 years now. I'm content being myself. So none of this is for the Yankees to be like, hey, Keith, great job. I don't care about that at all. And since I've been in the media, since I've had a media credential to skip the line and get into the stadium without waiting in line, I've given away probably 100 tickets. And any of the bleacher creatures will tell you that. Anybody on Twitter will tell you how many times I've just given away tickets so that Yankee fans can come see their team live and in person and not cry about how much a Heineken costs, not cry about how much a chicken bucket costs. Everything costs in New York City. What are you talking about, bro? Let's get into it, man. Sean's in Manhattan. Sean's first up on The Fan.
Hey,
there he is. I was about to say, he was on hold for a long time. He must have fell asleep on us.
No, I'm still here. How you doing, brother?
I'm good.
All right, so I was at the Ranger game last night, but I called about the Soto contract situation, which I know has been discussed ad nauseum.
Yeah, we can do both. I'd like to hear from you about the Rangers game, but first give me your Juan Soto contract stuff.
All right, so the Soto contract stuff, I mean, come on. Like, let's be real. I know that some of your colleagues have talked about, like, gaslighting and all this stuff, but Soto's got, what's his face as his agent?
Scott Boris.
Boris. And then, you know, I think that Cashman's just trying to, you know, do what he's doing as the GM. I mean, this is just, you know, it's just Moneyball, basically.
I don't know about that. What I'll say about Brian Cashman, because he had a quote just yesterday about the Juan Soto contract and or Juan Soto being here. He said, when we gave up what we gave up, of course we gave up what we gave up in that trade with hopes of keeping him, right? It's not just a one-year rental. Like, you get the guy here to show him around the place, make him feel at home, and that gives you a leg up in the game.
Understood. But I really just feel like this comes down to money at the end of the day. And there's not
a contract that a right fielder at 26 years old in Major League Baseball can sign that the Yankees can't afford.
I agree.
He's not going to sign for $800 million. Like, that, like, I don't know, maybe if Steve Cohen wants to give him $800 million and be over the luxury tax again, but, like, David Stearns won't allow it. So what are we talking about?
Well, but like, look, I'm an orange and blue Mets fan. Like, I really hope that Soto goes to Queens.
For what?
But, like,
After you punt at the trade deadline again, you hope that Juan Soto goes there, and then you have, I don't know, it just doesn't make sense.
I hope they give him $1 billion.
All right. How was the environment in Madison Square Garden last night? Because I know television production is one way. I've spoken about this in Barclays Center. I'm like, they make it seem like Steph Curry chants are raining through Barclays Center, chanting MVP at the Nets game. It's production. It's microphones. It's volumes. There's someone saying, hey, cut to this. Do this. Turn this up.
Yeah. So I do take issue with the categorization of what's been said about MSG last night. Like, I think it was electric. I do not agree at all with people saying that it was dead or whatever. Like, I had a great time. I was in the bridge. It was a fun time.
It's game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. There's obviously some anxiety, some nerves. Like, people aren't going to – it's not an elimination game. People aren't going to be going crazy. They're waiting to see something happen, and it was a 1-0 game for 2 hours.
Exactly. And Keith, let's not forget the fact that, like, the Rangers pulled off the most improbable, like, comeback win the game before. You know, this happened.
Yeah, on the road. It's been a while since you've been – back in the Garden. It feels like a while between series.
Yeah. I mean, 100%. I was happy to be there. It stunk that they didn't score a goal, but, like, look, let's keep the faith. I know you're a huge Yankee fan, huge Ranger fan, but, like, let's keep it going. We'll see what the chips will fall where they fall.
Thanks for the call, Sean. I'm not a huge anything. I'm about 205. Trying to get my weight up a little bit, but I got to take it easy. Hurt myself lifting the other day. I'm not a Rangers fan at all. I think I've done a good job during this run of making you think that I like the Rangers or making you think that I'm rooting for the Rangers to win. No, I'm trying to have a good show, and I'm not putting my fandom in front of New York City and the listeners and this radio station. I've been here for 2.5, going on 3 years. I'm not that important. What's more important is the hockey team that is, I don't know, 4 wins away from going to the Stanley Cup. I've fooled some of you. I'm a Devils fan. And shout out to the Devils' new coach. And I don't know, he'll be introduced Tuesday. And let's go Devils. I am a huge Yankees fan. As far as just, like, I love the team. Being a Yankee fan changed my entire life. I think I'm a blessed Yankee fan that just, as a kid, I watched the TV and watched them win and asked for a Yankee hat, and my mom got me one, and I started dressing up as Bernie Williams back-to-back Halloweens and collecting trade-em cards and playing Little League, and fast forward all these years, here I am. But, yeah, stay down till you come up. Man, stick with your team. I know it's New York. It's hard to play here. I know that we have these high standards for our teams, but, like, have some positive energy. Josh is in the Bronx. Josh, you're on the Fan.
I'm telling you, Keith, before I get to the Yankees, let me point out, during that Ranger game, didn't the Ranger player accidentally put that
on goal
in the Ranger goal? Yeah. I mean, and that's what... that's what set the tone for that game to
reverse.
Well,
that's what pretty much ended it.
Yeah, right. Thank you for that. And that Lewis Heel, I cannot wait for for the Yankees to go on to San Diego and play the Padres. You traded for Juan Soto. I mean, Juan Soto with them, man. It's going to be electric, Keith. I cannot wait. And look, the ride is on this season. It's Memorial Day weekend. Enjoy it. Have a great Memorial Day weekend. Thank you for taking my call as always, Keith.
No problem. Yeah, I can't wait for this West Coast trip because I'm going to actually sleep next week. I'll be on like 6:30 to 9, go home, watch the Yankees in bed, pass out before 3:30 in the morning. I can't wait for them to go out west. That's going to be fun. But yeah, man, Luis Gil, that's homegrown talent. That's a guy that I know most Yankee fans were familiar with a couple seasons ago when we saw him and we were like, man, this young guy, he looks like he's older than he is. He looks like he's not afraid of the moment. And you know what? The Yankees aren't afraid of letting him whip his right arm however many times he's going to throw. And we'll see if he breaks down. They've said so much. If his mechanics break down, if he starts to struggle, if he doesn't look like he can do it. Yeah, he's never pitched over 100 innings. Yeah, but everybody's not the same. And I'm tired of all the analytics and numbers. Man, can we go off a feel? Can we go off a heartbeat? Especially with this team that has this type of chemistry, love for each other, a family feel, an environment. Let's go to John and Masbeth on the Fan, the creator of Fire Cashman Night.
Creator of Fire Cashman Night. Listen, that's old news. That was last year. There's a whole new.
I gotta give you your props for that. I told Cashman I didn't go, I didn't go because it was cooked by the time we actually got to like September 19th or 29th, something like that.
Yeah, it was just way too far after. You know, everyone was all pissed off about last season. But I want to talk about Hal's comments about the payroll situation, and I sort of understand where he's coming from a business standpoint. And it got me talking to a friend of mine about this, right? What if eventually, I'm not talking about right now or even this offseason, but what if in like a year and a half or 2 years, we start locking up some of our younger talent, we follow the blueprint that the Braves did and start extending some of the younger talent.
They tried to do that 4 or 5 years ago. That's why they gave Aaron Hicks that contract. We're still paying.
No. Listen, no. What the Yankees did wrong was they didn't do what the Braves did and attach lucrative team option years at the end of the deal. Because when you guarantee $70 million over 7 years and you're not attaching a year or two of a team option at the end, you know, I hate to say it like this, but the player really doesn't have much to play for.
I hear you, and I think they will. I think the entire league is starting to get crafty like this. When you look at, you know, some of these big contracts that we're seeing from, I mean, look at Julio Rodriguez, who just struggled in the Bronx. He's got a big contract.
Bobby Witt
Jr., Witt, you know? Another example. But
if you buy out 3 years of free agency at, like, $20 million a year, mm-hmm. and then you attach 2 years of team options at, like, $25 million a year mm-hmm. after that, say if you got Jason Dominguez, and say if Jason Dominguez turns into the player that we think he is, that, you know, he can get $40 million a year on the open market if he becomes a free agent after 5 years. But if you extend him and pay him, you know, $20 million a year for those first 3 years of free agency, and then you attach 2 years of team options at $25 million a year, he's going to have something to play for at the end. Now, if he turns out to be a dud, then you don't got to give him that $50 million over 2 years, you know? So you follow what the Braves did. If you see the Braves contract, every one of these players has a year or two of a team option attached to the end.
Shout out to, what's his name, Anthopoulos?
Yes, genius. He did it to Austin Riley. He's making $22 million a year.
Matt Olson, Ozzie Albies, Ronald Acuña Jr.,
Matt
Michael
Olson,
Harris,
Sean Murphy, Spencer Strider.
That is their formula. That is how they have this ridiculous team, and the payroll is not the highest payroll in baseball. And they're able to bring in guys still. They can, I don't know, bring in Chris Sale. I know the Red Sox are paying a lot of his.
And he keeps them playing good because at the end of these contracts are those team option years. So these players still got something to play for at the end of the deal.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, John. I think it's a good point, and I think it's something, and I'll take it a few different ways, right? The Braves, in my opinion, the Braves are one of the best organizations in baseball. They have a brand new ballpark down there. The cost of living down there is nothing. They have Cool Today Ballpark, their spring training facility, brand new. They're the Braves. Mets fans know what I'm talking about. Like, these guys, like Michael Harris, grew up a Braves fan. He don't want to play for anyone else. He's signing that deal. He can't wait to sign that long-term deal. Now, the Yankees have a similar thing, right? They're the New York Yankees. They have a brand. They have, man, you guys have seen the video of what they did to the Yankees players, like clubhouse, how it's ridiculous. You guys heard how Steinbrenner in the winter talk about like sleep pods, and you know, you guys ran with that. But man, they have absolutely flipped that clubhouse for these players. A guy like Alex Verdugo comes from old ass Fenway Park in Boston and steps into New York and sees arguably could be, I don't know, I've only seen a little bit of it now, arguably the best clubhouse in baseball. Where do you want to go? Right? Go look up the video. It's on LinkedIn. It's on Facebook. I think it's even on TikTok. It's brand new. They remodeled, refreshed the Yankees clubhouse. The Yankees on a Monday night, Tuesday night, are going to draw 37,000 fans. They have an iconic history and brand where when you make it there, like, guys don't want to leave. Juan Soto does not want to leave this. Juan Soto was talking about the fans, right? And like, I go to the games. I have a reel that I put on my Instagram of just Friday night, Saturday night. It's got 225,000 views, and it's just me watching Juan Soto. And this is like maybe the second homestand. And it's what Juan Soto does going out there to right field. Forget the judges' chambers. That is Juan Soto land. I know the judges' chambers are there, and I know Judge doesn't mind being in center field. Man, the fanfare that this guy gets, and he eats it up. Anytime there's a break in the game, he's turning around, he's whooping it up with the fans, and he gets it. He loves it. He's home. His quote, and I got to start bringing in some of these articles, he said, "It's unbelievable. I just got to turn around and they go crazy. I know there's a lot of Dominicans. They all want me to say hi. I try to say hi to everybody. There are kids screaming, Soto, Soto. There are people in the bleachers that were like, hey, chill, we're not doing a roll call, but they're Juan Soto to get his attention." And he loves it. He skips over the first baseline. He runs out there to right field. And he's a man of the people playing it up with the fans. These guys don't want to go anywhere. Verdugo doesn't want to go anywhere. It is what it is. I think Brian Cashman can get crafty and start presenting some of these young guys. Like I already mentioned Clark Schmidt's extension. And we'll see what happens with some of these other young players. You can get in front of it. Aaron Judge should have been locked up. You guys heard me talk about this over the last couple years. We should have never got to the point that Hal Steinbrenner has to call Aaron Judge from Italy and say, Aaron, what do you want? You know, Cashman's at the winter meetings and they're interviewing him and he's saying he doesn't know where Aaron Judge is. And we're like, what are you talking about? You don't know where Aaron Judge is. He's your guy. He's not our player. He's a free agent right now. You drafted him. You developed him. He became a star in New York. He just set the AL home run record in your jersey. What are you talking about, bro? I think they're going to learn from that experience, right? They offered Judge like $230-240 million before the season. He had the greatest prove-it year we've ever seen. It ended up costing them. And so if Hal Steinbrenner's talking about, you know, we can't keep having payrolls like this. They're working. It has nothing to do with the money you spend in the stadium. It has nothing to do with that. It's basically him talking to his peers at the owner's meeting and looking at these other owners that don't spend any money. There should be a salary floor. There should be a minimum spend. Let's go to Gavin in Graham, Washington on the Fan in New York. Hello.
What's up, Keith? How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I just playing some baseball. But I just wanted to call about the Yankees. You know, I'm 16, so, you know, I haven't ever seen a World Series or anything. Hoping to see one soon. I'm super excited about the young core, bullpen, and the minors, Dominguez and Jones. And, you know, super excited. Can't wait to see where it goes. I'm really glad they rallied to get that split with the Mariners, though. I would have never heard the end of it. All my friends are Mariners fans. And, yeah, I'm just super excited and hope the family's doing well and have a good Memorial Day.
Gavin, thanks for the call, young man. Catch your breath, though. Slow down. Yeah, for you young guys, man, I want it for you young guys, really. I'm getting older and older, and I think about being in college last time they won the World Series, man. We know. Hal Steinbrenner, win the World Series, and you'll plant a whole new money tree. It'll be raining cash, Brian Cashman. Win the World Series, and watch how those ticket sales, like we're talking about how much it costs to go to Madison Square Garden to see the Rangers. Get to the World Series. Get back to the World Series. You don't even have to win the World Series. Just get back to the Fall Classic. And in 2024, everything in 4K, the media exposure. Look at how many people showed up to see Aaron Judge chase 60, 61, 62. I remember reading something that the Yankees made an extra $1 million in a week homestand with games against the Pirates and the Red Sox. Man, go on a run through October. Get back to hosting the World Series. You'll plant another money tree. If you win it, there's going to be merch. There's going to be all types of stuff. A ridiculous parade. I've had this rant 100 times on the Fan, man. My message to you guys is like, give it a rest. If you guys think Hal Steinbrenner's crying cheap, you don't really understand the type of money he's always had. If you guys think he's talking about money in late May before we even hit Memorial Day weekend, To try to tell you that in the winter of this year we're not going to sign Juan Soto, then you're confused, you're misguided. You keep reading articles, keep listening to the Fan, or maybe don't listen to the Fan. Let's go to Paul in Fort Lee. You got it, Paul.
Hey, what's up, Keith? How you been?
I'm hanging out, man. Happy to be here. This is my last show of the week. Then we got DJs tomorrow and a 4-day weekend for me.
Man, congratulations, man. It's a pleasure listening to you.
Thanks.
So, I've been a Yankee fan a long time. I remember my parents used to park on 155th Street, mm-hmm. get off the exit. We'd walk over the McCombs Dam Bridge, mm-hmm. so we didn't have to pay for parking. I think parking was $5 back then. Now it's $47. But, you know, it's
but you
crazy,
still see people parking and walking. And not that many years ago, I was parking and walking.
No doubt about it.
I was about to park on the street the other day. Shout out to Kevin Dart from the Yankees ticket office. I needed my parking pass. I text Dart like, yo, I'm just going to park on the street and go to the bar. And he hit me back like, I got you. I'm like, my man, I've been doing this for a long time.
I got to get that guy's number, man. Jesus.
Yeah, look anyway, him up. Look up Dart. He's the guy to know. Sharp, well-dressed guy. When you see him in Yankee Stadium, you'll know.
I remember the late 90s, man. I've been going to Yankee games. I used to steal my mom's car and go to Yankee games during school and go watch Tom Mattingly. He was my favorite, and try to get back home in time before the school
day game today. You can hear all the kids on the radio. You can hear the kids chanting, "Let's go Yankees!"
No doubt, that was love, man. That's love, and they you know. In the late 90s, watching the Yankees run, there was like a quiet confidence we always had about the Yankees. And I haven't had that feeling until this year. And I hope we don't have to brag or be, hey, we're the Yankees. We just, okay, we'll see you in October.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel like that's what I feel this team is about. I mean, I remember you were down at spring training the week after I was with my family. I have a 3-year-old who can tell you every Yankee player. Little boy Tyler, who is like, he was on Talking Yankees, and he's the best. He loves the Yankees, man. And I hope, but you have a little son. How old's your son?
My son will be 14 months next month. He knows baseball. And he can say basketball. He knows. I gave him one of those little Yankee plastic helmets. He's coming along. He was at spring training with me.
Yeah, I mean, I got videos of my son. He was on Talking Yankees, their podcast, swinging a bat before he was 2 years old, hitting it off a tee, and it was crazy. Like listening to all the
it's some time.
Guys were like, he's hitting better than Aaron Judge, and then some other guys ripping him like, oh, he hit the tee, like whatever. You know, I didn't want.
Thanks for the call, Paul. Sorry, I just got to keep it moving because we're coming up on the 8 o'clock hour. Yes, it's time for the Yankees to win another World Series and get back to the World Series for these kids. For these families that have passed it down, right? This wasn't passed down to me. Like I said, the Yankees were a TV show to me. My wife took me to my first Yankee game, and I heard the PC Richards son, and I said, wow, I'm in the TV. Like, that was my reaction. Like, I heard that jingle so many times on TV, and then when I heard it actually in the ballpark, I said, you're not in the TV. You're in Yankee Stadium. but I'm passing it down to my son, and maybe you pass it down to your son, and you've told your son about Don Mattingly. Donnie never won one. Or you might have told him even, your grandparents, some Mickey Mantle. And now with this group, this is Aaron Judge's group, Anthony Volpe's era, the generation for Juan Soto, Garrett Cole world. Like, these guys got to win it. They got to get there. But they can't do it in May, y'all. Like, they can't win it in May. But so far, very good. So far, they're looking the part. Let's stay healthy. Let's get a couple more guys back and continue to battle and become. You have to build to becoming a champion. And I think everybody knows what the goal is here. It's business as usual or back to usual.